Exodus chapter 16, and the book of Deuteronomy. So two places, the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy and Exodus 16. I'll be preaching this morning verses 31 through 36. As you turn there, let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of his word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have ordained not only the reading, but also the preaching of your word as a means of grace to build us up in our most holy faith. We ask and pray now that you would assist us as we study your word. We want it to bear fruit in our heart, but we know that will only take place if your spirit adds the blessing to it. And so, Lord, we ask that you would come now and do that work in our hearts that we can't do for ourselves, that your word would bear much fruit in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord this morning from Exodus 16, verse 31 through 36. Now the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations." As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. An omer is the tenth part of an ephah. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Amen. Don't forget the tenth of an ephah. You all needed to know that. You were all wondering about that. God's works of providence, as we have been learning in this passage, are his most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions, as the Shorter Catechism says. The confession teaches that God's providence means that he upholds, directs, disposes, and governs all creatures, actions, and things, from the greatest even to the least. And the end of this providence of God is the praise of the glory of his wisdom, power, justice, goodness, and mercy. God is doing all things through his providence for his own glory. You might wonder at times, well, what does providence include? What pertains to it? One of my favorite catechism questions is from the Heidelberg Catechism, question 27, that describes the almighty, everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he upholds and governs. There's the providence. Upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things to come, not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. So God's providence is providing all things for us, for our good and for his glory. Not only is there a general providence of God, but there is a special providence as well that is directed towards the church. Chapter 5, paragraph 7 of the confession teaches, as the providence of God in general reaches to all creatures, so after a most special manner, it taketh care of his church and disposeth all things to the good thereof. So there is a particular providence in which the Lord is taking note to care specifically in a special way for the church, accomplishing his plans of redemption and salvation in the church. It's God's providence that brings you faith. It's God's providence that cares for your soul. It's his providence that guides you through trials and enables you to persevere in this life. It's God's providence that is oftentimes very mysterious to us. At times, his specific purposes being veiled from our sight, hidden and unrevealed, and yet completely trustworthy for us, knowing that the end of God's providence will result in his glory and our good. Israel here is learning to trust God's providence. For 400 years, they have been in Egypt, depending upon perhaps what they thought was the providence, the provision of Egypt and Pharaoh. I mean, that's originally how they ended up in Egypt, wasn't it? They needed food. They needed to eat. There was a drought, and Jacob's family ends up in Egypt, and there they remain 400 years living off of the Egyptians. And yet, Genesis teaches that that was an act of God's providence too, wasn't it? As we read in Genesis 50, that God was providing for his people. In the Exodus, not only was God delivering Israel, but he's also providing for them. And the wilderness is the perfect classroom for Israel to learn how to depend on God. Are you thirsty? You'll have to trust God to give you water. Are you hungry? You'll have to trust God to give you manna every morning. Are you lost? You'll have to depend on God's direction with the pillar of cloud and fire. Is there lawlessness in the camp? You'll have to depend upon God's law for governance. Here in these six short verses that we read here in this passage, Israel was instructed to remember God's providence. Even more, they're not just instructed to remember God's providence, they are called to preserve the memory of past providences. They're to take about a half a gallon of manna and set it aside to preserve the memory of God's providence for the Israelites who wandered in the wilderness and ate the manna for 40 years. What a wonderful exhortation to us. Preserve the memory of past providences. Carry on the memory. Tell the story to your children and grandchildren. Pass it on to the next generation that others will know about it. The question is this morning, are you doing that? Are you preserving the memory of past providences? Do you know why you should? Do you know why you even need to? I want us to consider in Deuteronomy this morning the need for this. We are prone to forget God's providences. We're like leaky vessels where God fills us up and the water just flows out and disseminates, and we have to be filled up again. And so preserving the memory of past providences is one of the ways that we maintain and keep our faith in the Lord. The book of Deuteronomy is Moses' exhortation to the new generation of Israelites. These are the Israelites who are the offspring of those who died in the wilderness, and they are going into the promised land, and Moses is warning them not to forget the Lord. Let's look at a couple of passages in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6. God's laws and statutes, keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that his statutes and rules so righteous as all his law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently. Here's the warning. Listen to this, verse 9. Lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. How on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to you, and then describes the giving of the law. Israel was prone to forget God's law. That was a temptation for them, that God had given them the law at Sinai, and they would enter into the promised land, and they would forget God's law. But not only that, look down at verse 23, Deuteronomy 4, verse 23. Take care lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make a carved image, the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Israel was prone to forget the covenant of the Lord and fall into idolatry if they had memory lapse. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, here's the warning, then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The temptation for Israel here would be to forget that it was the Lord who had saved them. They would enter into the promised land and receive all the bounty and the good fruit of the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and they would be blessed by that, and then they would forget that it was God who had saved them. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The temptation for them would be to forget how God had provided for them. They would forget God's many providences. Chapter 9, Deuteronomy 9, verse 6. Know therefore that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because you're righteous, for you are a stubborn people. Remember and do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day you came out of the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Israel would be prone to forget their past sins. They would forget how they had failed and not kept God's law, and they were to preserve the memory of that. And what do we find when we get to Judges chapter 3? You don't have to turn there, but we read in Judges chapter 3, Israel does the very thing that Moses commands them not to do. They're in the promised land. Joshua has led them. They're in the conquest. They've entered into the land of Canaan, and they are there and established in the land of Canaan. And Judges chapter 3, we read, what does Israel do? They forget the Lord their God, and they go after idols. You forget God's providences when you lose them from your memory. You forget God's providences when you ignore that they have happened. You forget God's providences when you overlook their significance. You forget God's providences when you fail to stop and make yourself aware of them. It's like a child who forgets his parents' rules that he gave him for his instruction. He forgets about them and leaves the house and goes off into mischief. It's like a child who disregards his parents' instructions and enters into rebellion. It's like a child who overlooks his father's presence and severity and smarts off in his father's presence, forgetting that his father is there watching him. It's like a child who fails to consider the continual goodness of his parents and complains of lack and want in his life. And you might be thinking, well, listen, Pastor, I'm only human. After all, you said yourself, I'm a leaky vessel, right? So sometimes I forget things, and sometimes I forget God's providences. God understands. you stood before a judge convicted of a crime, would your excuse be, listen, judge, you can't really blame me for this because I forgot that murder was against the law. You'd never do that, would you? That excuse would not work before a court. God does not bend the rules for our forgetfulness. And yet, this is how gracious the Lord is. Even when his people forget, God does not forget, does he? He bears with us in our weaknesses, and he does not forget his covenant love for us, keeping his covenant love with us for generations. That's the goodness and the kindness of the Lord. Preserve the memory of past providences, Moses calls the Israelites to do in Deuteronomy. Why? They'd be prone to forget, and you and I have the same sickness. We are prone to forget God's providences, and we need to preserve their memory. So how do we do that? That's where Exodus 16 comes in place. Look back at Exodus 16 and see how they were to preserve the memory of God's providences. Look at verse 31 again. They name the food that God gives them after their first words. They ask a question, what is it? And in Hebrew, it sounds like manna. And so this food takes on the name manna. And it's described here, verse 31, like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. In the ancient Near Eastern world, honey was the apex sweetener, all right? That was like the best of the best kind of sweetener that you could get. And the majority of people in the ancient Near Eastern world would eat bread. That was common in their diet, but wafers were a luxury. And so what verse 31 is teaching about the providence of God here is the goodness of God's providence. God could have sustained them by giving them worms to eat or sand. He could have given them anything to eat, but he doesn't do that. He gives them the most delectable food in the ancient Near Eastern world that they can think of to eat. Dr. Stewart says, describing the manna as wafers made with honey was tantamount to saying that it was the most delicious food imaginable. Isn't that awesome? I love that. They were to preserve the memory of God's good providences. God didn't just give them food, he gave them delicious food, delectable food, right? It's like saying, I don't know, deep fried Twinkies or something like that, right? Like, it's the most delicious thing you could think of. That's what God gave them. And they were to preserve the memory of God's good providences. Not only that, they were to preserve the memory of God's sustaining providences. Look at verse 32. They're to take an omer, set it aside, which is about a half a gallon. They're to put it in the ark of the covenant, the testimony. What were they to do with it? So that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness. So Israel had gone into the wilderness. This was a difficult providence. Being in the wilderness was not fun. You at times got thirsty. You at times got hungry. God revealed his presence to you and you feared for your life. Moses is going off and he's meeting with the Lord and giving you God's commands, and you're out there and it's difficult and it's hard. It's a difficult providence. And yet, with the manna, God was sustaining them. They were to recall how God had preserved and provided for them through the difficult providence of being in the wilderness. Not only that, look again at verse 32. This would be a reminder to them of not only providing for them in the wilderness. Look at the end of verse 32, when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. So it would be a reminder to them not only of God's good providences, not only of God's sustaining providences, but of God's saving providences. The manna was a reminder to them that it was the Lord who had saved them. Think of God's many saving providences for the Israelites. Moses is born. His life is saved and preserved, passing through the waters. He goes into the palace. He's raised as one of Pharaoh's sons, and then he murders an Egyptian and flees off, spends 40 years in the very wilderness where he will lead God's people one day. This was an act of God's providence. Think about the providence of God to deliver the Israelites, the 10 plagues, the parting of the waters of the Red Sea, the judgment on Pharaoh's army so that they would no longer be in fear of Pharaoh's army. All these were God's providences to save Israel. They had the visible manifestation of God's glory with them, the pillar of cloud that would shade them and lead them during the day, and the fire that would keep them warm and guide them at night. And as we read in the Red Sea passage, how this pillar protected them from Pharaoh's army. This was all God's saving providences. They get into the wilderness and God provides, turns the bitter water sweet. He leads them into an oasis. He gives them quail to eat and manna to eat. Not only that, but as it's revealed, and the angel of the Lord went before them through the wilderness, preparing the way for the Israelites. This was all God's saving providences for them. The temptation for us is to think when we go through a difficult providence that God is somehow stingy. It is so easy to forget the good, sustaining, and saving providences of the Lord. It's tempting to think that God is somehow disengaged in our lives, or God is somehow vindictive or cruel or spiteful or not good, or that the world is out of God's control. Here's what you need to do today. I'm going to give you a homework assignment. We need to take a piece of paper, and I want you to draw three columns on that piece of paper. And at the top of the column, I want you to write, good providences. And start recording God's good providences in your life. Your home, your car, your job, your marriage, your clothes, the weather, the snow outside that we only see once in 100 years in Savannah. Your taste buds, your hair, your children, your friends, your church. All these are good providences from the Lord. Write them down, record them, remind yourself of them. In the next column, write on the top, sustaining providences. And remind yourself of how the Lord sustained you through sickness, cancer, the death of a loved one, a battle with depression, a marital difficulty, times when you question your salvation, a dark night of the soul. Write it down. Preserve the memory of God's sustaining providences. And on the third column, you need to write saving providences. And write down the things that the Lord used in your life to bring you to saving faith. The example of godly parents, the prayers of a righteous family member, the witness of a friend or spouse, a sermon preached to you by a pastor, an elder or a deacon who cared for you and served you, a book that you read, a song that you heard. All of these different things coming together in the Lord's perfect providence to bring about saving faith in our heart. We need to remember them, don't we? God's good providences, God's sustaining providences, and God's saving providences. Now, there are some people who will say, well, listen, David, you're talking about all these providences. Those were just coincidences in my life. They were just circumstances, just coincidences. It could have happened to anybody. I mean, everyone's mom prays for them. Either all things are governed by God's providence, or no things are governed by God's providence. You see, God has not only decreed the first order of things that are going to take place, but God has also decreed the secondary cause of how those things will be carried out. So not only if you are saved and you are in Christ, not only does he decree that you will be saved, but all of the things are planned and prepared that are necessary to bring about saving faith in your life. Isn't that awesome? Preserve the memory of past providences. Recall them. Recall God's providences. Mark them down, because you and I are prone to forget them. What will that do in our life? What will be the result of this? Well, I want you to see in this passage here that if you do this, if you make this a practice in your life, your faith will be strengthened. Here, Israel is called to preserve the memory, the providence of manna. Well, why were they to do that? Look at verse 32. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept." An omer is how much? About a half a gallon. "Let an omer of it be kept." Why? "Throughout your generations." So everywhere you go, you're to have this jar of manna with you. Verse 33. Look here, verse 33. Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations." So this speaking here about the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle and the temple that is to be built. They're to take a jar, put manna in it, and it's to be kept throughout their generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. Isn't it interesting? What happened to Israel if they gathered up a bunch of manna that they were not going to eat that day and put it away and stored it for the next day? What happened to that manna? It bred worms and became putrid, we learn. It would stink, right? God would place a plague on that manna, except on the sixth day, they were to get twice the amount, store some away for the Lord's day, and what would happen? God would preserve that. Here we learn that God is miraculously preserving the memory of the manna. Don't you love that? Throughout their generations, here's this jar of manna in perfect edible condition, like the day they gathered it up and put it in the jar. Don't you love that? Who is that for? Well, for future generations. And my imagination gets the best of me here. I wonder how future generations learned about this. Did they, on certain festival days, like the Feast of Passover, did the high priest go into the Ark of the Covenant and get the jar of manna and bring it out and show it to the Israelites and tell them the story of how God gave them the manna in the wilderness? Scripture doesn't tell us, not that I'm aware of, but your imagination kind of wonders. Did the Levites talk about it when they would disassemble the tabernacle and they would carry the elements of the tabernacle and the elements of the most holy place and the curtains and the Ark of the Covenant? Did they see it when they took it out and pass on the memory to the Israelites, teaching and instructing them and saying, you know what? When we moved the tabernacle last week, that jar of manna, it smelled just fine and there were no worms in it. It's been 150 years and that manna is doing well. We don't know, but we do know that the memory was preserved for future generations. It was preserved in such a way that when you come to the Gospel of John and Jesus feeds the 5,000 people, they're still talking about the manna. And Jesus says that manna, the memory of that manna that the Israelites learned about, it was pointing to the true bread of heaven. It wasn't Moses who gave your fathers manna in the wilderness. It was my Father who did. And then Jesus says what? I am the manna. I'm the bread of life that your heavenly Father has given you. What happens when you preserve the memory of past providences? Your faith will be strengthened. That faith passes on to future generations. Not only that, but your faith will persevere. Look with me at verse 35. The people of Israel ate manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. When you read the book of Joshua, there's this covenant renewal ceremony. There's a whole generation of Israelites that need to receive the Abrahamic sign of the covenant. So a whole group of them are circumcised. They pass over the Jordan River. And in Joshua chapter 5, verse 12, we read, "And the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land. And there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." How was the land of Canaan described to them? It was a land of what? Flowing with milk and honey, the most delicious food that you could imagine in the ancient world. A land flowing with milk and honey, abundance. God preserves Israel. They persevere through the wilderness. They get into the wilderness. And it was the manna that had been sustaining them. What happens when you preserve the memory of past providences? Well, your faith strengthens. It encourages you. My dad, very godly man, whom I greatly admire, my dad has been keeping journals for decades. And I remember being a little boy growing up, and him having in his office stacks of cheap spiral-bound mead, what are those things called, right? Notebooks, blank notebooks, full of Dad's journaling. What did he journal about? He still has them. I talked to him. And it will just be a passing comment for Dad. "Oh, I was studying this and I was writing in my journal the other day." Like, "Dad, it's been 40 years and you're still doing this, right?" One day, should the Lord tarry, Dad will die. And the six of us kids will go into his study, and what will we read? We're gonna read all those journals. What will they say? "David was a rascal. I had to beat his tail today." I'm sure there'll be some notes like that. But it will record for us as his kids and for his grandchildren the history of God's providence for future generations. We'll be able to show, I'll be able to show my kids the writings of my father and say, "This was a man who lived a life of faith and trust in God's providence." The memory will be preserved for future generations, and it will be a testimony of God's persevering grace. Wonder this morning if you feel discouraged and you need to take a moment and read the journals of God's providence in your life. You need to take some time today and go back and recall how the Lord saved you and sustained you and provided for you and guided you and was good to you, and even at times when you didn't deserve it, poured out his grace and mercy upon you, was not stingy with his love and mercy in your life, and just was good to you, providing for your needs. You might see your adult children or your grandchildren struggling right now. You need to pick up the phone and talk to them and read to them the journals of God's providence in your life. You might wonder how you can share your faith with your lost loved one, a neighbor, a family member, a spouse, someone who's not serving the Lord. It seems like everything that you try to do to defend the faith, I mean, you've done everything. You've went to Romans 9. You're preaching the gospel to them. You're doing everything that you can, and it just is in one ear and out the other. You know what you need to do? You need to get out the journal and read to them the memory of past providences in your life, that it will be a testimony to them. Scripture calls us to preserve the memory of past providences. We need to do this because we're prone to forget. We do this by recalling God's providences, and as a result, when we do this, our faith is nourished and strengthened. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for how you have provided and cared for us. And I pray, Lord, that you would preserve that memory in our minds. Let it be an encouragement to us that our faith would be strengthened. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.